As you understand, your podcast reviews are so appreciated. Woodchells left an incredible review I'd like to share with you. They start out, "I feel so validated. I relate so much to what Camden talks about. She helps me understand why I am the way I am and gives me tips and tricks to navigate everyday life. I always felt broken and I'm brought to tears knowing that there are others out there with similar challenges. I finally feel empowered to move forward in confidence and learn new ways to be successful. Your voice matters. Your experience matters. And if this podcast has helped you understand your brain, your body, and your life experience, even just a little bit, your reviews are so appreciated. Woodchells, thank you for taking the time to leave a review. And I'm so happy, grateful, and just feel very privileged and honored that this podcast would be the medium by which you are truly understanding the incredible human you are. Thank you once again." We set a million different goals that are really unreachable and are quite delusional, and then we get angry at ourselves when we can't accomplish them all. Don't do that to yourself this year. What does your mind want versus what does your body need? Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled How to Trust Your Goals. This month in my group coaching program called Mindful, we did a 3-day workshop that helped us understand our social concept of self. These are the different ideas and philosophies and mentalities that we have adopted from our childhood, our adolescence, our adulthood, from society. We took some time to pause and to look about how we have been shaped as people. And then by looking at those things, we're now able to decide if they are ideas that we want to continue to implement in our life, or if they are ideas that we'd like to release and to allow to go on off to the large abyss of life outside of our little bubble. This is important because when we are setting intentions, when we are looking for personal development and growth, if we are still holding on to old concepts of us that no longer serve us, our growth is halted or slowed down, or it makes it a lot less easy and efficient to grow. It's a new year. I'm recording this about a couple days before New Year's, and I understand that it can be really burdensome with ADHD to trust ourselves, especially those of us who get really excited and dopamine rushing through our body when we think about something new that we'd like to accomplish or do. And then seemingly a couple days later, we completely forget about it, or it's lost its punch. It's lost its enthusiasm. We can't quite re-access that juice that was pumping through our body before. How can we trust our goals if we don't even know if our goals are going to come into our brain 2 weeks from when we think of them? And it's a legitimate question. It's a honest challenge, and yet we can. And I'm hopefully going to help support you in that. A lot of what I'm taking from the course that you can find inside of Mindful. It's all recorded for you from this past week. I have worksheets and videos that will help take you step by step, uncovering what it is that may be holding you back from having more success in your goals and in your life and in your overall fulfillment. So if you like this podcast and you want more of it, I'd highly recommend that you join us in Mindful and you check out that course in addition to all the other great things that we're doing in there. So this past year, let me back up further than that. I probably mentioned that I love to vision board. And I didn't actually think that it was really helpful because I used to see people's vision boards and they just like put like a fancy car up and a really nice home up. And then they'd have like these words of like inspired, happy, beautiful. And it had such little significance. And then it would just collect dust. The vision boards that I create are active, living, breathing, ever-changing vision boards. They are essentially the frontal lobe of my brain. They are what I outsource to so that I can remember the things that I'm working on in my life. And I put my vision boards in a sleeve protector and I tape them to the wall of our shower. And so when I am washing my hair, I am staring directly at my vision board. I am reminded of financial goals I have, of vacation goals I have, of spiritual goals. I'm actually looking at my vision board right now. Mindful is at the very top of that list of something I wanted to start this past quarter in 2023. I have quotes that are significant and meaningful for ideas that I need to be reminded of. I have portions of my patriarchal blessing here. I have a picture of my family. I have the short haircut that I wanted. Books, because I'm trying to read more books. I have quotes of different text messages I've been sent that have been very inspiring. I have some scriptures. I have an RV. I have a guitar. A lot of different things on here. And this particular vision board took me about 2 or 3 weeks to accomplish. And all of these things have honest purpose to what I am trying to accomplish, what I'm trying to create in my life. It's tied to an emotion. And so much of the goal setting out there that's just very flighty is just for the heck of it. It's just fun. It's for dreaming. And it's not bad, but I am creating goals in my life that are tied to my core, that I can bring into my body and say, this is why I want to be reminded of this. This quote is significant because it helps me remember this particular aspect of my life. And I vision board and I do this process about 3 or 4 times a year. And it really helps me stay fresh. Sometimes I'll bring different goals and photos over to the next page. And other times I'm like, this is no longer a goal of mine. It no longer serves me anymore. And it's not something I want. So I take it off and I don't feel bad about it because I am evolving and growing into the person that I want to become. It doesn't matter what my former self wanted. What's more important is that I'm reminded and I feel good about who I am becoming. So you get to choose what kind of year this is going to be. You get to choose if this is a healing year. You get to choose if this is a growing year. You get to choose if this is a neutral year. No one else gets to choose that for you. And there's no timeline or clock ticking or stopwatch that says that every single year of your life has to be a massive growing year. We have to do these huge things in the way that society says that we have to do them. We have to make more money and buy bigger houses and more cars and, you know, publish more books. And there's no stopwatch or expectation that says that we have to do that. Be careful of where you're getting the messages as to what you should be doing. What really matters is how you are feeling and who you are becoming, and if you are proud and happy with who you become. In our course, we talked about the difference between what you want to feel this next year and what you want to accomplish this next year. You can also together think of like who you want to become as feel, I suppose. I choose a word of the year that sticks with me for most of the year. This past year it was shine. And then toward my 40th birthday, I read about my birthstone, which is peridot. And it said that it was represented good fortune, prosperity, emotional healing, and playfulness. And I don't think that there was ever a better a description of what I was trying to work for, like taking advantage of opportunities, prospering, emotionally healing myself and being more playful with my kids. It was just the perfect thing. So now I have Shine and I have the Peridot crystal around my necklace that work together. Also, it represents 16th anniversary, which is kind of cool because that's what my husband and I celebrated yesterday. So for me, coming up with a mantra or a word can help me remember the feeling I want to become, the person I'm trying to embody. For you, it doesn't have to be, but I would highly suggest that starting there is going to really ground you. What happens if I essentially just said, I want to have 100 people in my membership and I want to, you know, publish 100 new episodes of my podcast and I want to make, you know, $1 million in my business. Like, what if I probably wouldn't start at a million, but what if those were my goals and I hadn't even thought about the feeling of how I wanted to feel as I was accomplishing those things? What might happen? I might start to create a great deal of pressure in my body, or scarcity, or panic, or what's that word when it has to happen now? Like, this impatience might be in my body. And that is not the kind of human I am working on embodying. That is not the kind of emotion or feeling that I want to have over this next year. So by starting with the goals themselves and never asking ourselves how we want to feel, we are many times creating something or creating a monster, creating something that we actually don't even want. And then we become bitter toward our goals, become frustrated toward our goals. And who wants to accomplish a goal that's only off of pressure or insecurity? Nobody wants to keep going back and, you know, patting that goal on the head and saying, hey, how you doing? Nurturing that goal when it's like, hey, I'm a big reminder of how insecure your life is. You don't want to do that. So by first starting with the emotion of I want to start to feel, and yesterday in our class, I wrote informed, responsible, proactive, honest, confident, trust, vision, clarity, pace. These were all the words that I'm going to be working on deciding for this next year, what I'm going to operate off of. But that, what would it look like to be informed? Or what would it feel like to have a proactive mentality, or to feel responsible, not like negative responsible, but like in charge, like a CEO energy, like trusting myself, right? That, instead of scarcity, is going to help me accomplish so much more than the reverse. So now if I'm leaning into being informed, what kind of actions am I going to take in my goals? Oh, okay. I'm going to be less scared to look at my bank account. I'm going to be more willing to ask questions, even when they seem like they might be obvious. Because guess what? I'm working on being informed. I'm going to judge myself less when I don't know something, even if other people think I should know it. Or I'm going to be more compassionate on myself if I say something a little bit incorrectly that might offend someone. Because guess what? This year, I'm working on feeling informed. And I'm not supposed to know all the answers. You see how this works? So setting that feeling, and then from the feeling, how can I accomplish my goals? It allows you to. Another thing that came up is, what if the only, let's say we want to run a half marathon. What if the only way we thought possible for us to run a half marathon was through blood, sweat, and tears? Like, we had to feel completely depleted in order to accomplish our goal of running a half marathon. And so every time we started running, every time we put on our running shoes, it was like, I am going to be depleted. I'm going to be depleted. Like, this is the only way for me to accomplish this goal. Over time, that is going to really start to impact how you hold this goal in your hands. What if we knew that there would probably be some tiredness and muscle soreness, but we chose to instead know that that's coming, but instead we're focusing on being strong. This is how I gain strength. Or this is how I gain mental strength, mental wellness. or we run this half marathon because we're thinking of someone that we're running for. This is how I honor my great grandmother who died of cancer. This is how I honor generations of families. This is how I honor my nephew who's sick. Like, what if there was an emotion that was more connectedness or strength or beauty or determination or a mantra of my body is capable? All of a sudden, the goal shifts. And what we learn from tapping that goal on the head and saying, patting on the head and saying, hello, I see you, is so much more worthwhile and energizing than the alternative. Living with ADHD can be a daily challenge, but there's hope. I'd like to introduce you to Mindful, my ADHD group coaching program, a lifeline for those navigating the complexities of ADHD. At Mindful, we provide you with valuable tools to manage ADHD symptoms, emotional support and understanding, and a non-judgmental community that gets what you're going through. We focus on enhancing your self-awareness, developing coping strategies, and nurturing your emotional well-being. Join a diverse, open-minded group of ADHD adults where you're never alone on this journey. Mindful is here to support you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful today to start your path toward a more mindful life. And are quite delusional. And then we get angry at ourselves when we can't accomplish them all. Don't do that to yourself this year. Don't do it. It's not helpful. Can you see why we struggle with this? Can you see why this is hard? Is because we get into this big picture thinking, and we don't actually remember what kind of body we're living in and what kind of brain we have. We don't have to accomplish less. We just have to accomplish what's meant for our body and our capacity and our calling in life. What does your mind want versus what does your body need? When I talk about a system that we've talked about here, essentially, when we want to regulate our bodies, I talk about getting out of our mind and into our body. And one of my coaches, Kristen Carter, she has modeled a great question for me. She will say, what do you need, body? What is it that you need? And so we get out of our running and spinning and ruminating brain. We come into our body and we ask, okay, in January, or in 2024, or whatever the heck year it is that you're listening to this, the current year, body, what do you need? What is it that you need? Do you need more rest? Do you need more playfulness? Do you need more joy? Do you need more confidence? Do you need more love? Body, what do you need? And then we can locate, what is it our body needs? What is it that we're lacking? What is it that we're trying to mask? Stop masking. Let's uncover it. And that's often where you can find the emotion or the word that will help you stay centered throughout the rest of the year or throughout the rest of the chapter that you're focused on. Our mind can come up with 1,000 different things, but it's not always what our body needs. And so we get so frustrated when we write down all the things in our mind and our body's like, I'm sorry, I'm one person. I can't accomplish that, all that. And then you add on, of course, being a parent, volunteering, having a full-time job, being an entrepreneur, children with special needs, special circumstances, being a caretaker for aging parents, whatever it might be. We add all these other things onto our life. And we're still angry that we couldn't accomplish all the things that our brain thought of. Our brain is not our body. Our brain is meant to be creative and to give us lots of different ideas. And then we have to check in with our body and say, hey, is that possible? And is that probable? And is that a healthy expectation? Or is it delusional? Okay. Let's be kind to ourselves. With my cute kids, they're learning the piano. I'm not going to go put some intense, you know, Mozart piece in front of them when they're just trying to figure out what the right hand and the left hand is on the piano keyboard. That's delusional thinking. And yet we can be like, oh, well, they'll just do one measure a day. Well, says who? It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. No, it won't be fine. And we're not going to figure it out. We're going to figure out what their body needs and how we can set them up for success while still helping our bodies grow and our lives grow. Sometimes what's helpful, and we talked about this as well, and you can learn about it in further detail, is figuring out a beacon. For me, it's my vision board. But what is your beacon that's shining? It's going to help you keep focused. When your brain wants to know the end from the beginning, wants to know everything that's going to happen, wants to know the entire line of dominoes, what's the first one? What's the beacon of light that's going to help you stay focused? For me, it is that word. I talked about finances with my clients, my friends inside of Mindful. And I said, it's not that I'm bad at finances, it's that I outsourced them to my husband. And now I'd like to be more involved. And so my goal is, my beacon is that I open up our bank accounts and we look at them together a couple times in the month. And I'm no longer afraid to look at those numbers. I'm no longer fearing what's going to be on the other side of that conversation because it becomes more normal. Does it feel uncomfortable right now? Yeah. But if I truly want to feel more informed, if I want to feel more responsible, proactive, honest, if that is the word that I am developing, then I'm going to have to be willing to be a little uncomfortable short term in order to feel much more confident or responsible or informed in the long term. Discomfort doesn't mean something's wrong always. Now, burnout or doing something that's not sustainable over time, take a look at that. But discomfort of like, oh, it's really not my favorite thing, it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong or that you've done something bad. And so many of us have been taught this. I think sometimes, particularly with people of faith, when we talk about sin, and we talk about the Holy Ghost, and we talk about God's influence versus Satan's influence, like discomfort can come from God. It can also come from Satan, but discomfort is just an emotion. It doesn't have a positive or a negative spin to it, right? Do you think that it was comfortable for Noah on the ark with all those animals? Probably not. Was it comfortable for Christ to pay the price in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross? Was it comfortable for the apostles after his death to and resurrection to preach to the people that were persecuting them? No, they felt lots of discomfort, even though they were doing good things. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to grow. They wanted to help other people. Okay, I don't think that God is asking you to burn yourself out, to burn the end. And I also just want to bring this, that if you come from like pioneer heritage, like Esther Kandari said, pioneer stock, like I do, our example of like giving our whole lives to our faith and to God is essentially the pioneers dying on the plains. And I think sometimes we adopt that story in our life as like, now we have to give our entire life and die in our life for our kids and for our faith. We live in a very different time than they did. How are we more helpful to our family, dead or alive? How are we more helpful to our family, mentally well or mentally unwell? How are we more helpful to our faith communities and to our communities and society, well or unwell? Most of us listening to this podcast don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to freeze to death tonight or come up with something to eat in the morning. Or, you know, many of us aren't afraid that we're not going to have shoes that we're going to get frostbite on our toes from, you know, because of the holes in them. we don't have to go through the same life that the pioneers did. And I think sometimes we get these things mixed up. Our burdens and our challenges look very different. And I would suggest that being a more stable, mentally, emotionally, physically human is going to help you have more life fulfillment in the long run and show your kids how to also live a fulfilled life and therefore help support, love, grow, serve the communities around us. So as we're talking about goals today and moving into 2024, the idea is to not burn yourself out before you've even started the race, started the training. The goal here is, how can I make myself stronger and more capable and more fulfilled in the small ways so that I can accomplish in the long run, over time, a more fulfilled and beautiful and peaceful and joyful life, not only for me, but for those I love. We don't have to make it too hard. We probably will at the start, but because of this podcast, you have learned how to constrain. You have learned how to reevaluate your goals and to say, oh, I think I still need to pull back. And that's okay. Expect to make it a little bit too hard and then expect to do a reboot. Like I said, I do my vision boards like 3 or 4 times a year. It's okay. It's supposed to be this way. We're not supposed to know everything that's coming and all the adjustments. It's okay that we don't meet every goal that we ever set. That would be kind of bizarre. When I was young, I wanted to be a dentist, and dentistry is not for me right now. I wouldn't say I didn't accomplish that goal. I'd say I found the right goal. I found one that works for me now. Okay? It's okay to grieve that we can't do it all right now. It's okay to say, dang it, I wish that my ADHD brain showed up better for me. It's okay for that to be hard. It's okay for us to acknowledge that. What's not okay is for us to take that as a death sentence, as something like, well, I guess I'm never going to set a goal again. I guess I want to write a book. I guess if I can't do it, and I want to be a parent, I guess I'm just going to have to choose to be a parent because I don't know how to write a book with peace. That's not fair to you. You got to put in a little room for discomfort and for flexibility and for the idea that not all goals that we reach happen the way that we set out to accomplish them. I always wanted to travel to Europe. I'd never been to Europe. And I went this past spring with my husband. It was so fun. And the reason why we went is because I had friends out there that were doing sabbatical. And we stayed at their little apartment with their 4 kids. And we slept on the floor on mattresses. And then we did 2 days in London in a little teeny tiny flat. I've never been in something so small. And it was amazing. I had no idea how I was going to get to Europe someday, but it was a desire of mine. And so when the opportunity came up, that's how I got there. I could have not ever dreamed that up 5 years ago, even 2 years ago. Right? But I knew that I wanted to get there someday. And so when the opportunity made its way, we hopped on it. You have ideas of what you would like to accomplish. And you have ideas of maybe how you're going to get there, but don't leave it so stringent, so inflexible that you're losing the opportunities to see growth in even better ways. Lastly, where you're at right now is great. Okay? You don't have to accomplish a goal. You don't have to have your master's or your PhD and then love yourself. Where you're at right now, you can trust. Okay, you are learning, you're putting in the work, you're listening to this podcast, you're joining Mindful, you're seeing a therapist, you're doing the work. You can love yourself right now just as you are, knowing that maybe tomorrow you'll be a little improved and then the next day you might take 2 steps backward. That is exactly how humanity is supposed to be. We are here to learn and to grow. And it doesn't come overnight. It's not a fast process. but it's a good one. It's a really good process. As we understand ourselves, as we really work on ourselves in these ways, we then take back choice. We have more agency. We have more understanding of who we are. We're less threatened and less fearful of other people and the way that they react to our lives. We can sense healthy behaviors and unhealthy behaviors. And so our rejection sensitivity isn't so intense because we are working on ourselves. We're learning what it looks like to live with a dysregulated system, to live with ADHD. I don't know if this year for you is a growth year, a rest year, something in between those two. I'm not sure. But what I'm hoping is that you get to choose and that you learn how to set yourself up for greater success, that you're not afraid of goals or you're not afraid to set goals for fear of disappointment, or that the intensity and the desire and the love for the goal that you set, that desire continues and it persists in a forward direction. Maybe it might be toward your first, you know, beacon point, and then that beacon point shifts a little bit to the right. But that desire to progress and to improve and to heal continues. That's what I desire most for you in this next year and always. So this podcast is not just specific for New Year's. It is truly for any time. And self-development, self-work, self-kindness and compassion and love is always in style. The way that we act, the things that we accomplish, the things that we do are so much the better when the fuel that is driving them is one of kindness, positivity, and light. I'm so, so proud of you. Know that I love you, and I'm always cheering you on. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.